The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on the subject of Don't Limit God. And this is a recent teaching that I did in Arizona at a Gospel Truth seminar on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 2009. And I tell you, it was powerful. And the Lord spoke to me in 2002 that I was limiting God. And I made a tape set then entitled Taking the Limits Off of God. This is just an updated teaching of the same thing. And in 2002, when I made that first teaching on this, most of the things I was saying was what I was believing was going to happen. You know what? Here we are 7 years later, and it has come to pass, and God is doing some great things. And the Lord has been speaking to me that I need to start believing even bigger. You know, you never get to where you just have everything working in your life that could possibly work. We're just moving from through stages towards what God wants us to do. And I believe that there is a constant change in our life of believing bigger and stretching ourselves. The moment you quit stretching, you begin to break. And so we've got to just keep reaching out. And so I'm giving my personal testimony here. I am 7 years later, and I have seen God just transform everything. The responses that we're getting in 7 years has gone up like 10 times as much. Our income has gone up, I don't know, five times, six times as much as what it was. We are seeing God just supernaturally do things. And it's my testimony that all of this started with the way I thought. I was limiting God through my stinking thinking. So the very first thing I've been doing this week is just trying to show that we've got to start believing God and accepting responsibility and our part in God's will coming to pass in our life. And I'm having to really challenge what I consider to be the worst doctrine in the body of Christ, probably the most pervasive doctrine in the body of Christ, and that is about the sovereignty of God. I'm not against saying God is sovereign if you will use the word sovereign the way the dictionary defines it, as being first in rank, order, or authority, top of the food chain. Nobody is higher than God. If you want to say that about God, He's sovereign. But there is a religious connotation that is used in the body of Christ that when people say sovereign, that means that God just does whatever He wants to, that we have no part to play. People will say this was a sovereign move of God. Nobody had anything to do with it. God did something totally independent of us. That's an unscriptural principle. I've already used a lot of these scriptures. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If we aren't believing God, God doesn't just move sovereignly independent of us. God has limited what He will do through us. And because of that, we are a limit on God. We've got to start believing bigger. And I tell you, I believe that this is just a terrible, terrible doctrine. You know, I saw these truths and I, through Scripture, saw that I had a part to play in what God was doing in my life. I don't sit there and force God to do anything. God has a plan for my life, but I do get to choose whether or not that plan comes to pass. I have to accept that responsibility and make the right choices or I can limit what God was doing. I saw these things in Scripture long before I heard the phrase Calvinism or Arminianism. But you know, Calvinists are basically, this is talking about John Calvin, the man who came up with the doctrine basically that just says that everything is sovereignly controlled, that we are like pawns on a chessboard and God moves us. And if you're sick, if you're divorced, if you're failing, if you're miserable, if you are just any number of bad things, that God controls everything. Nothing happens without God directly doing it or permitting it. And that is not what the Word teaches. Arminianism, on the other hand, puts a responsibility that, yes, God has plans. This is His will, but we have a choice. And but long before I heard these names, I believed these things. But now people say, so you're an Arminianist, or however you say that. Well, I believe in personal responsibility, whatever that makes me. That's what I am. I believe that the Scripture says that I have to believe God. If I believe, I'll receive. If I doubt, I'll do without. It is not God that causes failure in my life. Let me just take one scripture over here. I hate to go into all of the different things because there's so much religious bondage on this, but this one is so prevalent. Nearly everybody has heard this. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I've heard people quote this scripture and apply it in the most ungodly ways imaginable. I remember one man who just came from a funeral, and there were these two teenagers who were doing dope and drinking, and then they got in a car and drove, and it was raining, so it was a slick road. The combination of drugs, alcohol, reckless driving, they went around a corner, lost control, slammed into a telephone pole, and it killed both of them. He had just come from that funeral, performing the funeral, and he was preaching on this verse and saying, we know that God does everything, that there was some reason that God took these two young people. And both of them were not born again. As far as we know, they went straight to hell. And yet this man was saying, God did this. God didn't do that. That is not what this verse is saying. God did not make those young people drink. God did not make them take drugs. God did not make them drive recklessly on a wet road. God did not make their car go off the road. And God did not kill them. Not every person that dies, it dies because God killed them. Boy, these are strong statements. And I know that there's television sets all over the world clicking off. But you know, Galatians 4:16 says, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" This is not what these verses are saying. Most people just take this, well, this says that everything that happens to us, you know, God's author of it. It doesn't say that. Look at this verse. It says, "And we know." This starts with the conjunction, the word "and." That means it is tied to the previous statement. It's not an independent statement. It's absolutely incorrect to pluck this out of context and teach something from it that isn't consistent with the context. The context of it in verse 26 talks about that likewise the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you were to go back and just break these verses down, I'm not going to take time to do all of this, but the Greek word where it talks about he helps our infirmities, that is a compound word that means that he takes hold together with us. The significance of that is the Holy Spirit doesn't make intercession for you without you. And it's not you that is somehow or another twisting the arm of God. It's this combination of the Holy Spirit. When you start interceding, then the Holy Spirit supernaturally energizes it and makes intercession and helps bring God's will to pass in your life. And then verse 28 says, "And we know." In other words, if you are operating in intercession, in an intercession that is energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you are flowing in a Holy Spirit-inspired intercession, then we know that all things work together for good. Only then. This is not saying that a person who isn't seeking God, this isn't saying that two young people who are not cooperating with God and the Holy Spirit, they aren't working together with the Holy Spirit, but instead they're out doing drugs and drinking and driving recklessly, and then therefore whatever happens to them is from God. That is a total perversion of what this verse is saying. This is talking about a person who is seeking God, energized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, living a godly life. And notice also, it doesn't say that everything that happens comes from God. It's just saying that a person who is seeking God with their whole heart, has the power of the Holy Spirit operating in their life, can take whatever life throws at them, whether it's the devil or just totally natural things, and you can work it together for good. God can overcome it. You know, in my life, I had the devil come against my son with some of the cooperation from my son, but nonetheless, it was demonic. My son cooperated and he died. And you know what? That's not from God. God didn't do that. But because I loved God and because I was flowing in the Holy Spirit and because the Holy Spirit rose up on the inside of me, I saw my son raised from the dead. And I have shared this testimony about him being dead for 5 hours and being supernaturally raised from the dead. And I have rubbed the devil's nose in it. I remember there's two people in Uganda who heard me give that testimony. And within 6 months of me doing that, they went out and raised people from the dead. And there's, I just got an email recently about someone who their child was born dead. And the doctors came in and said it was over. And they said, no way, because they had been hearing this, because they heard my testimony, they had faith to believe, they spoke and their child rose from the dead. There's absolutely no negative effects. There's been lots of good come out of that. God worked it together for good, but God didn't kill my son. If I would have thought that, and if I would have had this fatalistic attitude to where, well, God is sovereign. God, what are you trying to teach me? I wouldn't have been able to stand up, and I rebuked death. I commanded death to leave. I commanded Peter's spirit to come back into his body. I didn't beg. I didn't plead and ask God would he do it. I took the authority that he gave me, and I spoke. If I would have had this sovereignty of God teaching that some people are promoting today, I guarantee you I wouldn't have seen my son raised from the dead, and I wouldn't be giving this testimony, and it wouldn't have been working together for good. Romans 8:28 does not say that everything that happens comes from God, and yet that's the number one way that it's quoted. It is saying for those who are flowing in the Holy Spirit and together with the Holy Spirit are seeking God and letting the Holy Spirit make intercession, then regardless of what happens, whether it is just natural or whether it is demonic, God can work it together for good. I agree with that 1,000%. God can take anything that life throws at me, and if I'll turn to Him and be dependent upon God, God can work something good out of it. Doesn't matter what happens. Even if my son would have died, and if I hadn't have been at the place where I could pray and see him raised from the dead, if that would have turned me to God, and if I would have started seeking God, God could have brought something positive out of that. And there's no doubt that there's people who've experienced failure in some area that it's turned them to God and something good has come out of it. But it's wrong to blame God as the source of that. Again, the reason I'm hitting this so strong is because as I talk about don't limit God, you've got to realize God, first of all, can be limited, that God's will doesn't just automatically come to pass, that we have to cooperate. We have to pursue the things of God or they don't work in our life just automatically. So this says, and we know that all things work together for good. And here's two more qualifications to them that love God. That is just conveniently missed when people quote this scripture. And they talk about, again, I go back to the example I used at the first of the program about two young people who weren't born again, who were doing dope and alcohol, driving recklessly on a road, on a wet road. They weren't seeking God. They didn't love God. And yet people just assume, well, they couldn't have died if it hadn't have been God's will. That's not so. There's people that die all of the time that it's not God's will. God is not the author of death. God is not the author of all of the people that are born with birth defects. God is not the author of sickness and disease. You know, if you were just going to be consistent, I don't believe that God controls those things. But if you believe that God controls everything and that nothing can happen without God's will, then I'm saying this in love, just trying to get my point across. Don't take this as I'm mad at you, but I am being strong trying to break through this barrier and get you out of this deception. I'm saying this in love, but if you are going to be consistent and if you think that God put sickness on you to punish you or to make you better, then you're a hypocrite for going and taking medicine or taking medical treatment and trying to get out of God's will. If God put that on you, And if you are really believing that that's God's will, then why would you do something to get out of God's will? Why would you fight so hard to get out of it? That's inconsistent. If you really believe that it's God's will, then you ought to throw all your medicine away. You ought to quit going to a doctor. You ought to just let God's will come to pass. If you really believe that it's God's will that your marriage is falling apart, well, then don't do anything about it. Don't pray for it. Don't try and stop God's will. Of course, most of you, I'm sure, are recognizing that that's foolish and you shouldn't ever do that. And I agree, because the premise that God is the one that put that cancer on you, God's the one that put this disease, God's the one that's caused your marital problem, that premise is wrong. God does not control everything like that. God has a will for you, and God's will is for you to be well. He died to produce that. Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. They weren't oppressed of God. They were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. It's good to get well. There's some of you watching this program who are saying, well, that's of the devil, you saying that God heals and that God wants you well. It's amazing. In the Bible, it says it was good that he went about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. Today, people say, that's of the devil, this healing, this prosperity, this believing in victory. How perverted can you get? God has a plan for you, but you choose. Even if you aren't doing it intentionally, if you are choosing by default, not assuming and accepting your responsibility, then you're choosing. I'm telling you, God does not do everything, and it says we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. If you don't love God, and loving God, I could spend more time defining that, but just saying that you love God doesn't mean much. If you aren't seeking God, if you aren't submitted to God, if you aren't following God, then I guarantee you things are not going to work out good in your life. We have an enemy out there, the devil, who as a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour. That's over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And Satan is out to kill you. And if you aren't actively resisting him, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you aren't resisting, actively fighting against the devil, Satan is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag, and it's not God who caused that. And it's wrong for you to blame that on God. God has a plan for you, but you have to cooperate. So if you don't love God, then all things are not going to work together for good. And the last part of this verse says, to them who are the called according to His purpose. According to 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's either verse 8 or 9, it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. This is the reason that Jesus came, is to destroy the works of the devil. So if you are going to be called according to His purpose, this is describing you destroying the works of the devil, resisting the devil. A person who is just sitting there saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be, God is sovereign. God, I know You've got some purpose in me failing, in me being sick, in me being depressed, and you're just sitting there on the television watching as the stomach turns, doing nothing, assuming no responsibility, not resisting the devil and blaming God for what's happening. I'm telling you, that's wrong. It's not going to work together for good. So Romans 8:28 starts with a conjunction saying, dependent upon the Holy Spirit interceding with you, together with you. In other words, you are actively seeking God. Not everything comes from God, but if you are having the Holy Spirit work in your life, God can take whatever the devil or the world throws at you and work it together for good. If you love God and if you are actively resisting the devil out to destroy the works of the devil according to His purpose. Now, those are a lot of ifs. And yet people will just apply this towards non-believers. They'll apply it towards carnal Christians. They'll apply it towards people who are embracing the devil, who are yielding to the devil, who are operating in fear and strife and on and on. And they'll just apply this across the board and try and say that everything that happens in your life is God's will. I'm telling you, that's not so. God has a plan for your life, but He doesn't force it on anybody. God gave you a free will, and He will never take that away. He will never let anybody else take that away from you. God will defend your free will all the way to hell. I mean, it's sacred to God. God will draw you. He will lead you. He will convict you. He will send people across your path. But ultimately, you choose. I go back to that scripture I've already used this week, Deuteronomy 30:19. Behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God gave you the choice. He's not going to make it for you. He's got a plan. He will draw you and try and lead you in that direction. But you choose. And I'm telling you that even in my life, what I'm talking about here is about not limiting God. In my life, I was seeking God. I loved God. But there were things in my life that were limiting God. I wasn't doing it intentionally. I was doing it out of fear. I was doing it out of complacency. I was doing it out of a lot of things. So I'm going to talk about that as we continue these programs. But nonetheless, I had a part to play. And whether it's intentional or unintentional, we can limit God. And this is what this is about. The very first step for you taking the limits off of God is to recognize your place, your part that you play in this. To get out of this mindset that God just supernaturally, sovereignly controls everything and that you have no part to play. You're just a pawn in a chess game. No, God has given you a free will and you can choose. It is absolutely your choice. Now, you can't just make things come to pass, but you have God over here that has a plan for you. You've got Satan that is warring against you, trying to get you off track. There are these two forces working in this life, and you aren't the third force. You aren't going to make your own way, but you are the one that establishes which side wins. You know, there are people that think, no, I'm a self-made man or woman. Nobody, I'm not being controlled by God or the devil. I'm doing my own thing. That's crazy. That's not the way that it is. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, "The way I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps." You are deceived if you think that you are a self-made man or woman. You've got God over here trying to lead you in a godly way. You've got Satan over here trying to get you off track and destroy you. And the only thing you're doing is choosing which one is going to influence you the most. But you aren't doing your own thing. If you're doing your own thing, then you have chosen the devil. That's one of the ways that he gets you off track. God has a plan, but you get the ability to choose. And as I start talking about how not to limit God, this is the very first thing you've got to do is accept that you have a part to play in this. You've got to accept this responsibility. You've got to become accountable. And I tell you, it's not intended to hurt you. It's intended to help you. This will set you free if you understand what we're talking about. Now, today's going to be the last day that I offer you the first teaching in this new set that I've got out entitled Don't Limit God. I am going to continue to teach through this, and we're going to make this entire album available throughout this teaching. It'll go on for another few weeks. But the very first teaching in this set is about this sovereignty of God trying to counter this fatalistic attitude. And this first teaching is our gift to you. If you cannot or would not send money to get the entire album, we'll offer the individual teachings to you one at a time. So listen as our announcer gives you that information about how to get these materials. Remember, today is our last day to offer you the first teaching in this brand new set on Don't Limit God. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 1 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK147C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I'd like to encourage you as you write in to get these materials. Remember, today is our last day to offer you this first teaching as a gift. But when you call or write, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with us. You know, the things that we're doing, we're reaching people all over the world, and this is changing people's lives. I can guarantee you that the things that I said today changed millions of people's attitudes all over the world. But it cost a lot of money to do this, and there's other people that we could reach if we just were on more television outlets, if we were on more times per day. We need people to stand with us, and I'd like to ask you that if you've been blessed by this ministry, then be a blessing to someone else. Call that number that you see on your screen and become a partner today.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, Colorado Springs for the Karis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
If you want to start taking the limits off of God, you got to quit doing your own thing and asking God to bless it. And you need to find out, what is God's purpose for your life? What does God want with you? Why did God make you? And I'm just telling you, I'm saying this in love, but you will never, never be happy or successful, fulfilled until you find out God's purpose. You know, God would be unjust to call me to do what I'm doing, to be on television, to travel the world, to preach, to put out tapes, books, CDs, do all of these things. God would be unjust to reveal to me that that's His will and then not equip me to do it and not anoint me to do it. Where God guides you, He will always provide you with His ability and His things to get it